Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Welcome to the studio, Don Paul from the Opening Minds for the Arts Foundation.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me on and having Oma on.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure. We were talking, in fact, over the break, folks, with the artists galore that are in my family. Don and I actually will probably have a tough time for not realizing we're going to run over time because this is such a subject.
We'll talk fast.
Exactly. Well, let me give you a brief introduction. Don joined Opening Minds for the Arts, the Oma Foundation, in 2007 and became executive director the following year. He leads the implementation of a special model for grades K through 8, student achievement improvement through all forms of the arts. And for the 7 years prior, Don was in strategic planning and marketing consulting, serving nonprofits and public agencies in Minneapolis. For 20 years, Don was with the Paul Group, a marketing communications for corporate and public service entities. He's also been involved in several entrepreneurial endeavors, developed venture business plans, and assisted startups. Having earned the BS in mass communications from Minnesota State, Don started his career as a daily newspaper editor and weekly newspaper owner, in addition to working as a corporate trade editor. A speaker and teacher in collegiate journalism settings, Don is now on the board of National Scholastic and Columbia University Press Association boards. So again, great to have you here.
It's great to be here.
So Oma, explain to our listeners who may not be familiar with your wonderful foundation.
Oma, Opening Minds Through the Arts, a program that was started 10 years ago through the impetus of a major patron of the arts who happened into a little session on arts integration while he was at a conference for symphony orchestras in the Carolinas. He came back to town, he made a connection with the folks at TUSD, and Dr. Joan Ashcraft, the director of fine arts, has already had a strong program in the arts. TUSD, as I understand it, has had a rich tradition over the years of being a real arts-rich Anyway, they made the connection. They started to develop this arts integration program that's using the art forms. It's using visual arts, theater arts, music and dance to teach math, science, reading, writing, and social studies. And over the last 10 years, they've developed this program to be a very widely respected model for helping students improve their test scores and helping schools that are in trouble, that are having trouble with performance, increase their school performance. So it's been great. 5 years ago, the foundation was started, and as the education budget has had some real pressure on it over the last couple of years, the foundation has stepped in to be the
Wonderful.
Implementer of the program.
Yeah. So I guess I'm sitting here really curious. So you're telling me the students having trouble with algebra, there's a hardline connection to the arts.
You bet there is.
Explain.
Well, the arts, first of all,
I happen to believe it, but
that's right. Yeah, that's I understand. I'm in friendly ground here. The arts, first of all, make a connection with students. So for a kindergartner to walk into the classroom and within the first few days, whatever they brought into the classroom gets set aside from their socioeconomic issues, language issues, issues going on at home. Everything is set aside and they're engaged right away in the arts. And once they're engaged, all kinds of learning can happen. So what we find is we begin at very early to create lifelong learners and children who love learning. Dick Deasy, who is the former chair of the Arts Education Partnership National, he said that classroom is really a pretty bad place to learn. And what the arts do when they're in the classroom is they make it a great place to learn.
And I think that element, because it comes in, it's visual.
That's right.
Which appeals to a lot more learners because there's a plethora of ways we all learn.
That's right.
But it also is, in many regards, a semblance of play.
Absolutely. The participation factor is a huge piece in bringing children into an activity that they all share, that they all have a feeling for, as opposed to, I mean, you're not going to get a lot of intellectual rational thinking from a kindergartner, but they know when they're at this play that when you put information they need in it, it's very helpful. The program itself was designed to direct specific art forms at different grade levels based on the brain development.
So give us some examples
of
brain development.
For instance, in first grade, an opera team comes in and they work with listening and vocabulary, really basic. In fourth grade, everyone plays the violin because they're actually acquiring more complex level of skills. So through this K through 8 plan, every grade level has its art form that addresses the opportunities that the brain development offers as children age.
Don, is this a model that's unique to Tucson then? Or are there other places in the country that have adopted this insight?
Well, arts integration is actually kind of on the rise right now as being a concept for solving some of the problems we've got in education these days. But the OMA version, the Opening Minds Through the Arts version of arts integration, is unique. It's built, for instance, on we train to four specific roles in the school. The classroom teacher becomes an arts integration teacher.
Okay.
So that teacher is able to get a new tool to engage students. And classroom teachers jump over the moon for this. We bring in artists from the community, and we take them through training and make them into teaching artists. So they work with the teachers all year long. They're not visiting artists, but they actually work with the teachers. Then there's an arts integration specialist and the administrator, and that makes out the four-role team that really makes this program. We call it a school operating system because a lot of schools have decided this is how they're going to run their school.
So how would we know what an OMA school is? Something you can feel when you walk in? Is there a plaque on the door?
Or absolutely.
It just kind of jumps at you before you even walk in?
Well, first of all, you'll find it's a very visual place when you walk in there. And in the visuals, you'll be able to see the academic rigor of the classroom. You'll be able to see the science. You'll be able to see the math and what you see on the walls. There's behavior problems go down in our schools. Mm-hmm. So you're going to find kids that are much more engaged with what's going on, not only in the classroom, but it changes how they interact with each other in the hallway. It really sets a culture in the school. And then once you're in the classroom, you're going to find that everybody's rapt attention is on the teacher because basically you're moving from one subject to another in a way that the students are absolutely engaged with.
Engaged. Yep. Again, my guest at this point in time of our show is Don Pohl, who's Director for Opening Minds Through the Arts, the OMA Foundation. So, Don, how many schools are currently implementing this model here in Tucson?
In Tucson, in TUSD, there are 13 fully implemented, we call them OMA Gold Schools.
OMA Gold Schools.
And there are about 8 more schools that have some version of OMA. That means they have some of the artists, they have some of the training, they have some, maybe a part-time arts integration specialist. And at the same time, what we're doing from, in the nonprofit world right now, everybody is struggling to figure out how to make it through the current situation. And we've been greatly gifted with the idea that arts integration is very popular right now. So we created a sustainable earned income revenue mm-hmm. from offering our training nationally. We also have schools, 2 schools in Mesa, 2 schools in White River. We have 3 schools in Prescott, and we're working with a couple of the other communities across Arizona that are really interested in the OMA model.
So interesting. Well, you know, it's interesting. I feel like there's this pendulum that you folks have done or taking it that's way off to one side, which is really solid. But there are elements, are there not, in some schools, for example, that you see curriculum being integrated across the different disciplines, or that there's an art project, or build the volcano, not just
Absolutely.
Study it on paper.
That's
so
right.
I think there's some of that wave that I think we already realize is so powerful with children. But what you've done is basically take it even further out the swim line.
That's right. Actually, in this moment when we're not quite sure what's going on in education, to walk into most schools, there are some wonderful things going on. And some of them are arts, some of them are science-based. So the concept of integration is really what we throw our arms around. And we believe that creating an experiential learning environment for kids is the bottom line. But our job has been to put this into a form where it can travel to other schools, where people can understand it and pick it up, where people can learn about how to use it. Once they see the idea, it's basically taking teachers to another level of performance in the classroom, and we're providing the tools for that.
The other influence, I would suspect, is it also takes, if done right, a different level of living through the children into the home life. Are you seeing that?
Well, parents are so engaged. Yes. It doesn't take many weeks after school starts before OMA makes its way into homes. And one of the pieces of the program is that schools have informances where individual classes will invite their communities in. They are always packed. Thousands show up. In a school that has 500 kids, there'll be 1,500 people show up. They've had to move some of these to high schools with big auditoriums because parents are really engaged because they do see a difference when kids walk in at home after the school day's over.
Our children had the benefit to go to a Montessori school, AMI certified, which of course the headmistress warned us as we were exploring the process, comparing other schools. She says, you have to remember that we don't make macaroni necklaces here. In other words, it's as much about process as it is the outcome.
Yes.
And that your child may come home and say he didn't do anything. But in truth, that you can't convey that he learned how to get his own snack by doing this step, this step, this step.
That's right.
But I would have to say then, part of what you're obviously gifting these children isn't just the end outcome of now they can play the violin
or
that they can do a painting or they can build a science model. Is it not also they're engaging their right brain, they're using different mobile skills and so on?
That's right. Actually, we're trying to create as many little synapses of the left and right brain as
Got
we can.
It, yeah. Because life skills.
That's right, life skills. Test scores are how we measure, but what are called commonly today 21st century skills, which have a place in business as well, we're looking for innovation, teamwork, problem solving, resiliency, international perspective, empathy. All these pieces come up naturally in the process of creating art, and then when you bring that into the classroom, in the process of learning by using art. So it's a great marriage, and it's actually inseparable. A school that does not have the arts misses almost a whole half of the brain worth of learning capacity. And I'm afraid right now with budget cuts that we have to be so careful not to create half-brain schools all over the state as we pull arts programs.
Well, particularly because those half-brain elements are typically what's on the surface people think of being tested.
Yes,
but actually you're saying, no, this is the system that connects all those synapses that's going to allow that performance.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, I think the other piece of it, too, is typically the schools have offered athletics, but maybe not dance.
Sure.
Right? Or there's theater, but perhaps not knowing that that could be integrated into the curriculum.
That's right.
Other than, I would say, I think a lot of schools are recognizing the life skills of young people being able to stand up and give presentations. So
I think
I would suggest that perhaps a lot of the building blocks are out there for you all, but they haven't been put together to build a foundation.
That's right. And that actually makes the job easier when you walk in because people find that they can use a lot of what is already there by just making some connections and creating a more of a systemic way of operating a school using the pieces that, for instance, a lot of classroom teachers have amazing talent and experience. And a lot of that doesn't have a place in the classroom
until they do it outside the classroom.
Absolutely.
Right, don't they?
Yeah. That's right. Let me give you a couple examples of what this looks like in the classroom. At the Lawrence Intermediate School on the southwest side of town, right across the street from the Pasquayaki Nation, the third graders spent the year creating a trilingual opera using English, Spanish, and the Yaqui language. They used all four of the art forms, and they brought in all the academic subjects, science, math, the whole piece. And the outcome of that was this trilingual opera. At Vail Middle School, over in the central part of town, students, the state standards had folks studying civilization and the emergence of civilization as human beings began to stand upright and get along with each other. And of course, you bring a bunch of artists together, and you might think that what they would do is recreate a village. They might do some songs, some dance around that, some visual pieces. But the way we think of arts integration, we take it a step further. So that we got to the point where the concept of civilization is the interdependence among human beings.
Yes.
So all the art forms then were used to demonstrate the concept of interdependence among human beings, which creates things that we do together, like roads and bridges and civil society and the laws we work with and the left-hand driving and right-hand driving and such.
Yeah.
So, you know, we try to push the rigor to the place where we get to enduring understandings that really become vital to education. And we like to even think we might even go further than a sit at your desk with your hands folded on your desk lesson about civilization.
Well, particularly when it oftentimes gets boiled down to a test where you have to memorize all the capitals and the rivers and so on of the country of Africa, which I just was helping my child do. And I'm thinking, now, what's in this? Is this to hone her memorization skills, or is she really going to know and understand what's going on in the capital of Kenya?
That's right. And it's not too difficult to make a song up that has all the president's names in it or the states. But the question is, why do we need to learn that? And if we can answer that question, then we've got the real song.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Well, tell us about the staff that you have. Who's on your team then at the OMA Foundation?
Well, the OMA Foundation has two full-time staff, which is probably too few at this moment. Things are really moving fast. We have a wonderful board of directors who's come together, as I say, 5 years ago, and we built a board to be wonderful diversity representing all the parts that make Tucson work, including the amazing arts community, the business community, the creative part of town. We've also we are still in partnership with the TUSD team as well. We've got 53 artists that work in schools across TUSD right now, and they're also driving up every now and then to White River to work in the schools there. Mm-hmm. And we've got a design team which meets every week to continue to develop the program. And so over the last year and a half, as budget cuts have come in and new opportunities have come to us, this is the team that has kept this model
advancing.
Yep. So it's and these are rock star people. I mean, if you think about pulling the best of Tucson together, they're here. I'm new to town about 3 years ago, and I'm still discovering the depth and the richness of this arts community. And for instance, we've got a mime artist who spent years studying with Marcel Marceau. And he's on the design team, and he's also a field rep for our schools. And that's the caliber we have. It's just amazing.
Well, and that can energize people. Lest anyone question, can this be done? Yes, it can. The interesting prospect, too, though, you've gone K through 8. Is it somewhere in your plans for the future to take that into the high school years?
It is. Actually, one of the charter schools in Prescott that we'll be working with this next year is a high school. There's also great interest in preschool. And it, you know, it's a matter of capacity. We focused on K-8 and creating a K-8 system, and actually pulling the schools in the TUSD group together, 13, and really creating an arts integration academy across those 13 schools. So we have lots of great plans, but I think we'd really look for the opportunity to, certainly this year with high school, to also think about preschool.
If I had one of your teachers that's now part of the OMA program in here talking with us, what would that teacher characterize? Have they had major epiphanies and ahas as a result of this? How it must be opening up a field of view, and if anything, taking them back to circle and pull upon threads that maybe have just gotten squished.
That is exactly what's happening. We have so many teachers say, I love teaching again. I can use my imagination, and it's a resource in the classroom. Teachers have been, with No Child Left Behind, better or worse, really working hard to teach to the test. As a matter of fact, in early April, it's testing week, so teachers right now are really focusing on making sure that children are going to do well on the test. But this has really enabled them to focus on the test with all kinds of, with the joy of the arts.
Well, if anything, they're going to sneak it in.
Yeah.
And the kids won't feel so bludgeoned by it.
That's exactly what
truly
happened.
It's like, you know, trying to teach children the Spanish language. I know they do at my children's school by cooking.
Yeah.
You know, bring food, they shall come.
That's
you know,
right.
It happens.
Well, I expect in a test room these days, you might hear students every now and then go, to
That's
kind of
right.
remember some of the facts that they learned in music, or maybe their feet are moving.
That's right, that they can imagine. And why not? That brings in the joy of learning.
It certainly does,
because,
yeah.
Again, my guest that I'm speaking with right now is Don Pohl, who leads up the OMA Foundation that's opening minds through the arts. So, Don, I'm sure our listeners out there, how can we help you?
Oh, there are so many ways. And we get such wonderful support from our community. On May 8th, we've got our annual event, which is a gala at the Temple of Music and Art. It's featuring Ann Hampton Callaway, and it's also a great community gathering of folks celebrating this program. And tickets are available from our website at omafoundation.org or omatickets.com. Mm-hmm. That's very helpful. We are a nonprofit organization, so tax-deductible contributions are always welcome. We also funnel tax credits to OMA schools. So if you would like to use your tax money that you're going to be paying anyway, this is a it won't cost you anything, we can direct $200 per person to one of our OMA schools. So do be in touch with us about that as well.
That's great. Well, I know you've got that gala event, but something even sooner on the roster, you've got a concert that's coming up.
That's right. We've got at the Rialto, we've got the concert of Ryan Hood, which is a rock group. It's in early April, and tickets are available actually through Rialto. So it's going to be a fun night. Actually, they're going to take out the chairs, and so there'll be lots of youthful activities down below. And for some of us who have gray hair, we can sit up in the balcony and enjoy it all as
and
well.
I was informed that, by the way, that is an all-age group
appealing
type concert.
You bet. Yep.
Although I have to tell you, we went to the concert here in town called Video Games Live, and when it came time for the encore, what did people do? They opened up their cell phones and were waving them back and forth compared to the lighters and candles of earlier day, right?
Probably safer. I'm not sure.
I think so, but you know that I say that jokingly, but really what your foundation is about is truly, I would call, cross-generational, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it's a chance to engage people that come from a different way of learning. Yes. One question, you know, with the influence of the computer and computer-aided design or animation and so on, how do you see that as part of your program?
Well, we see that as vital as it becomes part of lives generally. Everyone has a video camera, every OMA Gold School, so that we can actually share what goes on in the classroom with our colleagues across the system. Everyone has a laptop that is equipped so they can upload it to our website. So that's a big access point for resources. But at the same time, we've got, we're working with the Loft Cinema on looking into bringing filmmaking as an art form into our setting as well. And I think as we take a look at how accessible, I mean, part of the issue is the inequity of accessibility to technology, and we'd really like to be a solution around that as well. So that's a big issue for us as we move forward.
Well, and you know, just as much as you've tapped on the artists in our community, of course, Tucson has a huge history of movie making.
Oh, well, not only movie making, but actually that moves us into the lens and, the space piece through optics at the university.
I see.
The university has been a great partner with us in the music department. We're working with research as well in neuroscience. And so we've got lots of resources really close at hand so that movie making connects very well to the science piece.
Well, I'd have to admit, if there's any young people listening today that are in the midst of their college education or thinking about it, particularly going into the field of teaching, do you think the universities are ready to embrace the need to shift their curriculums so they're offering teachers to come through to be able to right away integrate into processes such as you have?
Yeah, let me tell you, this is so gratifying. At this moment, for the first time at NAU, in Northern Arizona State University, in Flagstaff, and here at U of A, we have credit for our summer arts integration academies. We're also working with them either on a certificate program, an endorsement, or potentially a master's in arts integration. So what that does is it brings the fine arts folks together with the education folks. Now, I don't know, I don't have an academic background, but I do know that there are big silos that have kept folks on university.
Yeah, we don't even want to talk about that, even though
that'll come to it. That's right. But they're very, very willing to have this conversation with us, and we think it's got a huge future where an artist will walk off a campus and they'll be able to have a lot more to bring to a community as teaching artists.
It's been a real pleasure to have you on the show. And for our listeners, again, he represents the Opening Minds for the Arts, the OMA Foundation. You can get them at omafoundation.org. Recognize their two upcoming events, particularly the fundraiser May 8th. OMA presents jazz performer Ann Hampton Callaway. So, Don, wish you all the best of luck. We'll look forward to continue to track your great progress.
Thanks so much. It's great to be here.
Real
appreciate
pleasure.
It.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it. Going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.